Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello, hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go. Okay, so how's it going?
It's going lovely. I need to ask you a question. Did you watch the eclipse?
I didn't see the eclipse. It was too foggy where I was. Did you see it?
Yes.
Really?
I took the GO train to Burlington.
Oh, it was to see the eclipse?
To see the eclipse.
You went to Burlington to see the eclipse?
Yes, I took my nephew.
Anyone you know live in Burlington?
No, we just watched. It was the second closest train station.
To being at like the 100%
totality.
Or whatever it is? Totality.
The greatest word ever.
I cannot believe you went to Burlington. That's like, for anyone listening, that's like an hour and a half away from here.
Yeah, so we were 4 hours on trains.
Okay.
We were an hour.
Well, you know what? It's a once in a lifetime
Toronto,
experience.
Hour from Toronto to Burlington, and then there was just a Walmart there, so we went. I was with my nephew, got a blanket and some snacks, and we just sat up on a berm.
That's actually really cool. That's a really cool memory for him.
Yeah, and as soon as it was over, ran to the train station to avoid the Niagara
Did you
Falls
get a
crowd.
Beer for yourself?
Did I, sorry?
Get a beer for yourself?
A beer?
Yeah.
No.
So you just took a train, didn't drive, sat on the blankie, looked at the sky.
That's right.
Okay, got it. That sounds great. Never invite me to hang out.
Funniest joke I've ever made in my life. We were taking the train down, and we went through a tunnel, and I was like, well, Theo, there was the eclipse. What'd you think? Killed. Destroyed the quiet train.
It was only him and his nephew, you guys.
That's right.
So, I'm really happy that you guys had a fun time. That's a really cool memory for him.
Yeah.
I would have required a glass of wine for that, though. That seems like a fun way to have a funner way.
I had WrestleMania on the iPad, so it was a good way to kill the time.
So, did you stay for like the full...
Yeah.
What was it? Like 2-something to 4-something?
Yeah, we stayed until it got bright again.
And did you have the glasses?
Yep.
Can you see me right now?
Huh?
Who are you?
Yeah, we got glasses for the whole nine, took photos.
We couldn't see shit. I bought 5 for my whole family, and I put them on, and I looked up, and then I looked at like the house. There was nothing. Everything was black all around me.
I like, if you still have the glasses and it's sunny out, use them and look at the sun. It is crazy.
Or just use them as sunglasses now?
Well, I'm going to use them because if I want to like lay out and tan, I'm going to use them as like tanning glasses so the sun doesn't like...
Are you going to lay out and tan?
I don't know if you can see it. Yes. Okay. Go walk and look in the gazebo to see what I bought myself. Okay. It is laying between 2 chairs. Can you see it out there? If there is a better way to spend $69, I don't know what it is.
Well, ladies, if you thought he seemed like the perfect guy before, but he was a bit too pasty... We have the solution.
Yeah. Costco has a military cot on sale right now. Regular a hundy.
Oh, boy. Well, you know.
DMs are open. Just can't be loud because I live with my parents. Again, yeah. DMs are open.
Okay. So I have a bad one for you today.
Oh, okay.
Perfect, right?
Not like a fun one.
We do have a fun one coming up.
Okay.
And it was your choice, so
nice.
It's going to be great. This one is the Delphi murders.
Okay.
And I messaged you and asked you if you knew this case.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't.
I don't, no.
You might when I start to talk about it.
I'm wondering what Delphi refers to.
Delphi is the city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Delphi, Indiana.
Okay.
Super small city. I believe just in 2022, they had 3,004 people.
I would like to move to a town like that, I think.
I think you would,
like
too.
Like a small, yeah. You know, where I could lay
everybody
out
would, like, you wouldn't have to socialize that much.
Yeah.
But, like, the people that did know you would think you were, like, super cool.
Yes.
They'd be like, he's the guy with the voice and he's so fun.
Yes. Be like with my nephews 24/7.
That's why you take them everywhere,
that's
right?
That's the only reason.
It's stroking your own ego.
That's correct.
So, I have to mention that we do have a couple new Patreons.
Oh, yeah. So we, welcome all of our new listeners, because I'll tell you, I know you were grieving that your boy Orenthal James died.
I was like, you know what? This is a really, really rough day. And then all of a sudden our numbers spiked and I was like, well,
I love all of the OJ jokes in our Patreon exclusive Facebook page. My God.
You know what? They were the ones that informed me. Somebody posted
it. I saw that.
And I was like, what? And then I went to TMZ and I was like, holy shit. I didn't know OJ had cancer. Did you?
No. No, I mean, you never know, right? You wish and you pray, but you never know
if it's going
to come true. So it's just, also, by the way, about time, cancer got something right.
And you know, you're going to say that.
It really is. A lot of people shit on cancer, and rightfully so. But this one time.
Could you imagine if like something like popped, like it's not going to, but like popped up in a couple of years and it was like, actually we have like conclusive evidence now that he didn't do this like this entire time.
You know, it's funny,
he's just the juice and we're like hating on him. The poor guy can't fucking get his Hertz car jumping over things.
I don't know, man. I mean, he acted pretty fucking guilty.
No, I mean, I read the book.
Yeah.
I was there.
But that would be, I don't know if I would be able to accept it.
You were just,
I think I'm so like, no. Stubborn.
They'd be like, no, we have DNA. We have the guy that did, there was video camera actually. Yeah. I can't believe we missed that. You're like, no.
I'd be like, I'm sorry. We're done here. I've already made my mind up.
Okay, well, I think you're probably right. So I don't think we have to worry about that. But yeah, I want to say thank you to a couple of our new Patreons.
Welcome.
You know, they really are the reason we can continue to do this. This equipment
bought
because of our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just finishing up a solo Patreon episode.
Super awful.
So anybody who knows what my solo episodes are all about, that means it's horrific. And I don't want to break Matt.
Yay, Lynn.
So I want to thank Jennifer B.
What up?
And Anna K. Maybe Kornikovic. I don't know.
Whoa. Or Kendrick?
Or, you know what, just start talking about your tan some more.
Oh, okay. Well, I usually lay back. I don't use a pillow, so I tan under my chin. A lot of people use a pillow. What is this, amateur hour?
Well, you also have a pretty thick beard under your chin. I don't.
That is true. Thank you for saying chin and not pluralizing it. I appreciate that.
I would
that.
Never. You don't have a double chin.
I know. You're helping me out, girl.
So, Jane Jones, and I think I chatted with Jane on Facebook. I think she makes these... If I'm not mistaken, I think she makes these really cool, like, gothic style, like, art things. Like,
it was like a
rib cage that had, like, roses and stuff on it. It was painted all. It was actually really cool.
What about a bird cage made out of ribs?
That's actually not a bad idea. I think the bird would get out, though.
What about a dead bird in a rib cage?
Okay. Well, you know what? You've gone to the other side. Too far to the other side. I was always like, maybe I can just kind of get him over here a little bit more, but now I'll...
Hey, dragons. I'm looking for 80% to make bird cages out of human rib cages.
Kevin's like, I like where you're going with this.
Mr. Fantastic. Mr. Wonderful. Mr. Fantastic. Shit.
Mr. Wonderful. He's actually apparently a really nice guy.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
So, also Leanna W. I believe Leanna subscribed for an annual.
Oh, nice. Which is thank like, you.
Heyo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you are one of these people, please don't forget to join us on our Patreon-only Facebook group because it is hella fun.
Especially if you love making fun of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, which we're still on the fence if he's maybe innocent.
Well.
I mean.
Pretty sure.
It's like 90-10 at this point.
I'm pretty sure you're guilty. Somebody said, do you know what, did you hear about O.J.'s casket?
Oh boy, here we go.
Called Juice Box.
I saw that. Do you know today. That my mom was, for years and years, one of the only people that still believed that he was innocent? Like, right, probably
we all did. My mom, myself.
You believed he was innocent?
100%.
Okay, I'm talking about, like, I'm 39 right now. Until I was roughly about 30, my mom believed that O.J. was innocent.
This was not months after the guilty verdict did we all change our tune. Yeah, it was very quickly.
It's you McLeans. My mom's a McLean too.
She is?
Yes.
That's why we could never be together.
Because we're cousins.
Be cousins.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Damn.
Bingo bongo.
Nope. Just a bingo.
So, I've spent a lot of time knowing this case, and I'm shocked that you don't know it, to be honest, but I think you will. I got a lot of my information from a multi-parter podcast.
Ooh.
That was absolutely fantastic, extremely informative. They said that actually at the beginning of the podcast, they said that they had to figure out a way to get 30 hours of like interviews down to 8 so that they could put it into this multi-parter.
Oh,
so it's like they have just the most crucial information. this podcast is called Down the Hill.
Down the Hill?
Does that strike anything with you?
No.
No? Okay.
Nope.
So, here we go. We're going to do the Delphi. So, also, this is a trigger warning. This is the Delphi murder. So, most true crime people will know that it does involve the deaths of a 13 and 14-year-old children.
Is this like a known, like within like the true crime?
Huge. Yeah, okay. Yeah, huge. So it happened in 2017. So it wasn't that long ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So nowadays, if you are, you know, talking about kids around the age of like 12, 13, 14, they're more than likely extremely tech savvy. They're probably smarter than you and I when it comes to a lot of technology. Mm-hmm. You know, you can usually find them somewhere with their face aglow with like a screen of some sort.
Yeah.
Or learning the latest TikTok dance or challenge. So for a lot of parents, if your young teenager comes up to you and expresses an interest to get outside and explore, maybe like take some pictures, do something like that, you know, I think the parents would love that. My kids are still a little bit young at this age for me to be like, yeah, you know what, you should just go explore the woods.
Go out there, do some geocaching.
Max, get out there, you little bugger.
Yeah, go climb that tree.
But I can appreciate that, like, once a kid gets to a certain age, you just be like, just go fucking...
Yeah, get the fuck out. Go in the woods, yes.
Like, go for a walk, like, do something like that. So, yeah. On this day, it was February 13th of 2017, and Delphi Community Middle School had taken a day off from classes. It was actually what they called a snow makeup day. Okay. It was, like, you know, they usually had...
What the fuck does that mean?
It means they used to have snow days, yeah. But, like, it had been a really mild winter. So they were like, I think it was basically probably a time for the teachers to catch up
is
on their
shit. Like, well, like a student count, like a kid who's like, and another thing, just because there's no snow doesn't mean there's no snow days. Vote for Brandon.
It's Jaden. Brandon's Jaden.
Jaden. Yeah.
It's Jaden, Caden, Aiden. Yeah, you know who I am.
That's right.
I'm one of the Aidens.
Hawaiian punch in every fountain.
So, yeah, they said it was a snow makeup day because they didn't have a very snowy winter and they hadn't had any snow days. So, you know, a lot of people that are listening, we have a lot of listeners in California. So
nice.
We don't have to go to school when there's a lot of snow outside.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Well, buses, 99% of the time where there's a snowstorm.
And you used to, I used to listen to you all the damn time right. Saying if it was a snow day or not.
The buses.
Half the time he was wrong.
So the buses are canceled, but the schools are open for what they call student learning.
Most of the time.
So it's like, hey, parents, get your kid in there.
No, so most, like 90% of the time, if it was a school day, it was because the buses, you know, it wasn't safe for them to tote a bunch of kids around.
Yeah.
But, like, some of the times it would be so severe that, like, the schools would shut right down.
Yes.
And, you know, that would be, you couldn't bring your kid to school. But, like, on the other days, your school would be open. And if you wanted, if you had to go to work or something, I know a lot of my friends have to work. So they drop their kids off still. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like a movie day. Like, it kind of is fun. I've never, ever dropped my kids off for a snow day, except for the last time. And I was like, guys, it's going to be a blast. You're going to watch movies. It's going to be so much fun. They all came home. They're like, we fucking had to work all day.
Oh my God.
They didn't say the F word. My kids don't say the F word. But they did. They had to work all day. They're like, I just caught up on
work. Mom, what the hell? You fucking lied to us.
Olivia's like, you said there was going to be a movie. I'm like, there wasn't a movie? She's like, no.
Worse. It was a book.
So yeah, so that's what a snow day is. So this in Delphi, they hadn't had any snow days. So probably the teachers needed a break and they took a makeup snow day.
Okay.
So what these girls did, so I'll introduce the girls and we're talking about Liberty German and Abby Williams and they were 13 and 14 years old. So Abby was 13 and Liberty was 14.
Okay.
And they had decided.
What a fun age for girls. Well, and boys, really.
I mean, it's fun for maybe girls, not for their parents.
I don't think anybody has fun at that age.
Really? You don't think so?
What is it, 13, 14?
13, 14.
What grade is that? Like you're in seven, grade eight. Like 7, 8? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I was dating the hottest girl in my school in grade 7.
Oh, yeah?
No big deal. Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. I was in grade 7.
Did you kill her?
Did I kill her? Yes, in fact, I did. I was like, what a fun age. She's like, what?
Hold on, I lost my spot here now.
Because I said I was dating the hottest girl in
class. Now I'm just completely lost.
You have this murderous rage about you now.
Yeah, now I'm
on my Facebook profile, going through my relationship history. Would you stop it, you weirdo?
Oh, God, where are we? Okay, so Yes. So 14-year-old Liberty German and her best friend, Abby Williams, woke up at Libby's grandparents' home. They had a sleepover the night before, and they were now looking for something to get up to.
A lot of sleepovers in our stories.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess Polly Class was one.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
I don't know. Oh, I just feel there was a lot.
I feel like that was a
There's the one. We covered them all.
I'm so glad that you stopped me. Thank you so much.
Ah, what a great time to stop. Okay, so I'll make
you go. In this home was Liberty's grandparents, Mike and Becky, Liberty's dad, Derek, and her 17-year-old sister, Kelsey. So,
Nana's name is Becky?
Yeah. Okay, isn't that like a really fun name?
It doesn't sound like a...
I know, she doesn't look that
old. A name that could be a Nana.
And, well, her grandfather's name's Mike.
Yeah, true.
They sound
yeah.
like they should be, like, maybe baristas at Starbucks.
Yes.
So,
good call.
Yeah, her dad, Derek, lived there, and her 17-year-old sister, Kelsey, with whom she was extremely close. The girls had made their way downstairs and helped out Libby's grandmother with a few things, and then Derek, Libby's father, had made them banana pancakes, which sound effing delicious.
Good call.
After breakfast, they were bored and began throwing ideas around of what they should get up to. Libby would go into Kelsey's room and ask what she was getting up to that day. Kelsey told her little sister that she had to work and she would also be hanging out with her boyfriend Chase, so she couldn't hang out with the younger girls. Liberty then asked her sister if she would drive her and Abby to Highbridge, which is also known as Monon Highbridge. I sent you this picture last night.
Oh, okay.
Which is an old railway bridge that is not in use anymore and is actually not supposed to be walked on at all. It's very dangerous. It's 63 feet above Deer Creek, and it runs 1,300 feet long.
The photo makes my feet sweat. Like,
and there's no siding on it at all. Like, it's terrifying.
It just looks like some. Well, it's like standby. It's essentially the bridge on. Well, no, that one had more structure.
For sure, it did. Was, that's what right. This one reminds me of is one that, like, when Jake was little and he'd watch Thomas and, like, Thomas the Train, mm-hmm. like, there'd be a bridge that was, like, super rickety, and Thomas would, like, have to, like, compete with someone, so he'd go over it, and then he'd end up, like, going down. They'd have to come and, like, pull. It was a whole thing.
What a jackass. I know. Who's that quick fix, Thomas? I know. Right? Think about it, buddy.
He's not as great of an engine as people make him out to be. But anyways, so it was 1,300 feet long. There are multiple planks that are missing, and some are rotting and soft. There's absolutely no siding, and it's just truly terrifying to look at.
Yep.
But there's a walking trail right by it. So, like, when you enter, like, if so, Kelsey pulls in, there's an entrance, right? Mm-hmm. And then the bridge is off to their right. There's a trail right before that, so they can go hiking.
Okay.
If they go across the bridge, it's just all wooded and, like, deep, deep hills.
Okay.
So, I mean, theoretically, they could go and, like, you know, hang onto trees and try to figure it, but there's no path. There's nothing, like, it's not friendly for people
there's
to
no
walk.
There's no reason
right there.
To go over
exactly.
there. Okay.
So people, if they want to cross it, they typically cross it and then come right back.
Right.
So Kelsey assumed that that day that they would just be doing the trails because she said that Libby was very daring and it would not surprise her one bit if her sister wanted to cross that bridge. Kelsey said that she hated the trails, but her little sister always wanted to cross them.
Is it like kind of like, at my friend's cottage, there's a bridge and everybody like jumps off it into the water.
You could not jump off this
bridge. No, but is that like a local town? Like, oh, you got to run down on the bridge. Like it's, everybody does it.
It's more
kid.
So, it's not really like a thing that kids do, but it is one of those places where like people would get like their wedding photos and their graduation photos. And like, it's just kind of like a beautiful historic thing that like right. people, like they don't hang out on. But I don't know a lot of people that would be comfortable enough. It looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's only like, I can't even say how wide it is, but it's one person wide. Like it's not like you could like walk side by side with each other.
Right.
And it doesn't have any siding. I don't like it. So Kelsey thought, you know, she knew for sure that Libby would do it, but she didn't think in a million years that Abby would do it because everyone would say that like Abby and Libby were like opposites. Mm-hmm. Like Libby was boisterous and she was scared of nothing. And Abby was, she was confident in herself, but she was also more timid and quiet. Like it wasn't like
cautious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's what made their friendship work. Like they were just opposites and they attracted.
Yeah.
The two friends met at school, and they both played the alto saxophone.
Whoa.
Not bad.
Didn't go soprano sax? Ballsy move.
Wow. I don't know either. I'm like, Michael Bolton? That's all. I don't know why that's right where I went. Does he even play the saxophone?
Kenny G, maybe?
I don't know.
And he played a clarinet and a saxophone, Kenny G.
Really?
I think so.
God, he likes those...
Reed. The woodwinds? Is it a woodwind?
I don't know. I just knew the reed thing.
I hated it in music class when all the reeds would fire up. I'm like, why are we letting shithead grade sevens learn a woodwind?
The worst part was that you had to go to school and then you had to empty a spit valve.
Yes.
Like, that's a nightmare.
I know.
Imagine, like, mean kids emptying a spit valve in front of, like, some kid in front of them they don't like.
Imagine us learning how great of an insult calling somebody's mom a spit valve was. Like, why are they teaching us this stuff?
Okie dokie. you know, the two hit it off, and they were opposites in a lot of areas, but they also, like they say, they had a lot of the same interest. They both love being outdoors, and they would both play sports. They love swimming, and both girls love arts and crafts. As a matter of fact, the night before, they had set up some stuff, and they were painting. They both loved photography, and Libby loved to bake. Her family would say that she was the little baker of the family, and she would often come and get, like, she'd just come home from school and get all of her ingredients all together, mm-hmm. and she'd just do, like, a huge batch of chocolate chip cookies. Her grandma would say, like, it would take her half an hour. She'd put all of her stuff away, and then there'd just be, like, a big plate of, like, really? Warm chocolate chip cookies for everybody.
Oh, my yeah. God, that's awesome.
I'm like, get in my house.
Yeah, I wish you were more like that.
What?
I wish you were more like that.
This isn't my house.
I don't care.
Imagine I just started baking.
What an excuse. What an excuse. Look at
your
you.
Your parents come down. I've just got, like, the friggin' flour.
Hey, just working on a second batch.
Where's hey, this Doug? Chocolate chip? I didn't think we had chocolate chips. You didn't. You do.
Yeah, that's right. Don't worry, Doug. Got those special keto peanut butters for you.
So Libby had asked Kelsey if she wouldn't mind driving them to Highbridge. But Kelsey, you know, she wanted to make it to her boyfriend's house on time because she, at this time, Kelsey was
a teenager with a boyfriend.
17, yes. Mm-hmm. So
there is no priority bigger.
Well, this is a good girl. And she started, after Libby left her room, Kelsey started to feel a bit guilty. She said that she thought to herself, like, I've been saying no to her a lot lately. Mm. And if it was me with my sister, I would have been like, and that's fine. But Kelsey's better than I am. So she called Libby back and she said that if she was able to get a drive home, and grandma said it was okay, then she would take them to Highbridge. So Libby excitedly went downstairs and she asked her grandma Becky if it was okay. And she got the green light from grandma. So she then called her dad, Derek, at work and asked if he would be able to pick them up on his way home. And he agreed. So excitedly, the girls went to get in Kelsey's car. And Kelsey said that she got in and she realized that neither of these girls were wearing sweatshirts. Now, keep in mind that it is February. I think they right. kind of have the same weather patterns as us.
We're Indiana?
Indiana, yeah.
Yeah. Midwest, probably even more so because it's like a lot of wind chill.
It was mild, but neither of these girls were wearing, and they wanted to go to Highbridge or Ver Creek.
Be like. Outside? Yeah, smart.
So
what's going on there?
So Kelsey was like, okay, no, you guys can't do this. And she had a sweater in the back of her car for Libby because that's her sister. So she went inside and she got one of her own sweaters and gave it to Abby so that they would have something.
Nice.
Yeah, what a cool
good sister.
Older sister. Mm-hmm. So, and then they took off towards the bridge. Kelsey said they pulled into the entrance and she did a double take to make sure that both girls had their sweatshirts on. And then she told Libby that she loved her. And then she watched them walk away for a minute before driving off at about 1:35 p.m.
Hmm. At the end of our story or no?
That's it.
That's everybody who's happily ever after.
So at 2:07 p.m., Libby posted a picture to Snapchat of Abby walking along Mullen Bridge. Anyone who knows this case will know the picture well. It's a beautiful picture of Abby. She's right on the side. She's like off to the right-hand side of the picture. Mm-hmm. And then like behind her is the whole like railway. You can see it like, crazy. And then in the background, it's a really beautiful picture. And as Kelsey had stated before, she didn't think that Abby would be okay with going across the bridge. So when she saw Abby on the bridge, she started talking to her boyfriend, Chase, about the girls being there. She was actually really surprised that she saw Abby doing this. And she said that a friend of hers was also there that day and how beautiful and scenic it was. And she was telling him that she would like to go and walk around the trail sometime. Sadly, this would be the last thing that Libby would ever post.
Ooh.
Sorry. So it would not be the last time, though, that people would see visuals from her phone that she took that day on the bridge.
Okay. Uh-oh.
So at 3:11 that evening, Derek, her father, was making his way home from work, and he called Libby's phone to let her know that he was on his way to pick them up. But Libby did not answer the call. When he arrived at the entrance, he called her again, and again, Libby didn't answer. So that was when Derek got out of his vehicle and he began to walk the path. He wasn't worried yet because he just figured they got caught up, you know, taking pictures, time had gotten away from them.
Teenagers.
For sure.
Yeah.
And at 3:30, Derek decided to call his mom, Becky, and tell her that he was at the meetup place, but the girls hadn't shown up yet. Now, Becky was a known worrier. So, like, everybody said that, like, if you were going to tell Becky something was wrong, it was going to set her off.
Right.
So, Becky then tried calling as well. And Libby, of course, still didn't answer the phone. And Abby didn't have a phone, so this was her only way of getting in touch with the girls, aside from, you know, physically finding them.
You kind of need a Becky, I think, sometimes. Like, you need somebody who's going to super worry, because you might be like, no, you know what?
It's fine.
It's no big deal. They're just...
And she goes, like, 0 to 60.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
What do you mean they're fine? Get somebody out there. All right, Nana, Becky.
Yeah, chill out.
It's just Nana. Stop saying Becky.
So... like I just said, Grim Becky was known to be a worrier. So when it was nearing 4 p.m., she called her husband, Mike, and told him the situation while he was at work. Now, Mike will say in the interview that I listened to that he was kind of like, because he knew her to be a worrier, he was like, okay, like, let me finish up what I'm doing here. I'm going to leave. I'm going to come. I'm going to help in the search.
Yeah.
Relax, okay? And so that's just what he did. He finished up. And Becky would also call Libby's aunt, Tara. So this was her father's sister. And she also called Kelsey, which was Liberty's sister. Kelsey said that she had not heard her phone ring at first. And she had let it go to voicemail. But then when her grandma called back a second time and she saw the incoming call, she knew that something must be wrong because her grandmother was not one to call twice. Like, she would allow the call to go through, see it on the caller ID. And then when you're not working, because that's what she was doing, you give me a call back. So when she saw that second call coming in, she's like, something's up. So she picked it up. And when she heard that the girls were missing, she left work and joined her family in the search. At around 5 p.m., with still no sight of the girls, Mike really started to worry. So this is Grandpa Mike. And he told others that if they were not located by 5 p.m., he was going to call the sheriff's office.
Is the... you have to wait 24 hours. Is that a myth?
No, it's horseshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's absolutely horseshit, especially when it comes to kids.
Yeah, right away. Yeah, let them tell you you're crazy and not have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was ever like something that was put into place. I think it might have just been like a casual something that like some...
or something like a couple of TV shows or something.
No, I think that police departments did say it, but like, I don't think it's ever been in place for children. That's
right.
A completely different ballgame. So at 5:30, when it rolled around, that's exactly what Mike did, was that he called the sheriff's office. So Abby's mom, Anna, was at work too. She and Abby had an extremely close relationship. She had Abby when she was only 19 years old and she was raising her as a single mom. Abby was an only child, so the two of them were like thick as thieves. So when she noticed that she had a missed call from Becky, she called right back to make sure that everything was okay. And Becky told her that girls had gone out for a walk and they hadn't returned when they were supposed to, and that they were just headed to the sheriff's office to file a report. Anna told her coworkers that she had to leave. She didn't think she was missing.
But
she was. Yeah. They couldn't find her daughter. She said once she had it all figured out, she may be back later on. But she would later recall that in that moment, she felt like a bit panicked, but it wasn't like that overwhelming, like, I'm seeing, like, I'm going to black out in a second. So she just assumed that it was something small that they would figure out and everything would be fine. By the time that darkness was beginning to set, people were already, of course, beginning to worry. Word had spread, as it often does in these small towns, and many volunteers had joined the search for the teenagers. The local police were just trying to say all of the right things to the family to keep them as calm as possible. They told them that the less... this is what one of the cops said. And these local cops, I would follow them into a fire. They are amazing, okay, and they care about these girls so much that it's like, it broke my heart to watch a lot of these press conferences. But so they told the family that the last movie at the local cinema was letting out at a certain time, they said. They said that if the girls were already, you know, feeling a bit rebellious and they'd already stayed out this late, then maybe they were like, you know what? We're already going to get grounded for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the movies. Like, yeah. Let's live it up. But when that time came and went, of course, everybody started to worry even more. The family knew, like, when the cops said that to them, that it wasn't, these weren't those girls. They weren't going to do something like that. Like, it wasn't even in their makeup at all. Like, they were the
double
kind of,
down on
no,
being
like
in trouble. Or,
they're never, yeah. they were never the girls. They wanted to make people happy. They were just nice, good mm-hmm. girls. And like, if they really wanted to do something, they could ask. And like, you know, 95% of the time, their parents would let them do it.
Right.
But the families were like, okay, let's try to breathe and we'll allow ourselves to try and believe this.
Oh boy.
So when it was too dark to look anymore, the local police advised everyone that they would continue the search at the first sight of light.
Uh-huh. Good luck telling this small town.
Well, here's the thing is that you saw the pictures that I sent you, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, it's all hills and valleys.
Yeah.
And there's no lights. Like, there's a canopy of trees. Like,
right.
It's really a liability at mm-hmm. that point. So the firefighters in Delphi, too, are 100%, aside from the chief, he's the only actual employee. Everyone else is volunteers.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, these people have to work.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So the firefighters were all volunteers, but that isn't to say that plenty of people didn't stay out on their own mm-hmm. accord. Like, they just, a lot of the, not, they were on, under nobody's orders to stay
right.
out.
Well, the official stuff had been
yes,
pulled away.
Exactly. So, it was, you know, they would stay out and they would continue to look. By 3 a.m., though, Grandpa Mike said that he knew that something was horribly wrong.
12 hours basically after the pickup.
It's exactly 12 hours, yeah.
Yikes.
So the next day, first thing in the morning, volunteers once again had started searching for the girls. However, they were unable to officially start searching due to fog. They wanted to get a helicopter above looking in, but they couldn't do so until about 10 a.m. But that doesn't mean that people weren't looking. They were out there. They
sure.
were still looking. Mm-hmm. At the fire station, everyone was broken into groups that they would stay with and cover certain areas. Kelsey and Becky were out at the bridge while Grandpa Mike and Abby's mom Anna stayed back at the fire station. Kelsey was in her group of people and she was searching when she heard someone in another group yell and ask if either of the girls were wearing black Nike sneakers. Kelsey stopped because she knew that Libby had been wearing black Nike sneakers when she had dropped them off the day before. And it was only a few minutes later when somebody yelled out that they had found them.
Oh, God.
And it was not the conclusion that everybody had been hoping for. At the time, and for years following the murders of Abby Williams and Liberty German, we would not know anything about how the girls were found. But now we know that their bodies had been moved and positioned. Libby was leaned up against a tree with branches placed on top of her, one arm above her head and one arm down, while Abby laid on the ground with her arms bent at the elbows and her hands pointing up, with one leg bent at the knee and the foot of that leg was behind her other leg. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost, yeah.
There was also sticks placed over her. Some believe that there's a significance to the way that they were placed and how the sticks were placed on top of them, but we will get into that later. And something else that was strange was that Abby was wearing some of Liberty's clothing.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was wearing two bras. Like, whoever did this had taken Libby's bra off and put her. I still to this day don't understand that part.
And you wouldn't wear two bras.
No. And that's what somebody said that when I was watching one of these things, somebody said that because one of them was a sports bra, that maybe because he was a man, he thought
it was like an underbra,
like a tank top or something like that. Like,
oh,
he didn't
right. put like the underwire bra on, then the sports bra yeah. as like a tank.
One thing that I didn't understand though, and I'll get into this, is we're going to find out, and I'm jumping the gun but Libby has a phone and she records pieces of this, but she puts it in her pocket. And then for him to do all these different things, I just don't know how he didn't find the phone, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so the girls were found on private property that belonged to a 77-year-old man named Ronald Logan, and we will touch on him again in a bit. News slowly started to trickle back to people. Naturally, Kelsey was one of the first people that heard that her little sister was no longer alive.
Jeez, that's tough, man, because like, you obviously want to search, but you can't have them search. You can't have the family out there.
And Kelsey was so, like, they were so close. And mm-hmm. like, just the fact that she dropped her off that day, you know what I mean? And like, that Libby wanted her to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
And just the sweater. Just the, you
like,
know.
The kind, the yeah. sweet little, like,
yeah. Like, okay, here's one of my car for you. All right, let me run and grab an extra yeah. one.
So she, you know, had been searching with a woman who had lost her brother while he was in high school. And this woman, as soon as they heard that the girls had been found, she just held Kelsey until she kind of, you know, regained her composure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anna, which is Abby's mom, was at the fire station when her pastor approached her and he asked if she had heard anything, to which she replied she hadn't. And he took her upstairs at the fire station and he informed her that the girls were gone. He said that the first thing that came out of her mouth was that Abby was not baptized. For the past three summers, Abby herself had attended church camp and she begged her mom to get her baptized. Mm-hmm. Her mom kept putting it off because she wanted her whole family to be there.
Oh.
But, you know, it was just one of those things that, like, we'll get around to it. We'll get around
yeah.
to it. And so when she found out the news, she said, she's not baptized. And her pastor put his hands on her shoulders and he said, your daughter gave her heart to the Lord and I promise you she's with him today.
Well, that's nice.
She said, as much as she was living in an absolute nightmare, in that moment when he said those words to her, she literally said it was like a whoosh that went through her body that was just like peaceful.
Yeah, nice. That's nice.
So Libby's mother, Carrie, lived nearly 300 miles away. So if you remember that Mike and Becky have custody and Derek is the father, he lives there as well. Mm-hmm. So her mother lives in Kentucky and Kelsey had called her the day before because she wanted to ask her if she had heard anything from Libby, which she hadn't. Her mom would always send both girls a Snapchat in the morning saying like, I love you. Have a killer day. Da, 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 da.
Snapchat.
Yeah.
So funny.
And she didn't know that the girls had like a makeup snow day. So she said that when she saw Libby lying in bed at like 9 or whatever it was, she was like, what are you doing in bed? Like, get up. And she's yeah. like, no, we have like a fake snow day today. It's fine. So that was the last time that she heard from her daughter. And Kelsey had told her that they were looking for the girls the day before, but she wasn't too worried. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. It's such a small town. Like,
yeah.
you just wouldn't.
You would never
really
think anything would happen.
Right. Unless you're me. And then I'm like, don't like, go to yes. the mailbox alone.
Like, what's going on? Murder. Double murder. Double murder. No, they turned raw in the wrong
it's
street.
Fine. Just chill
minutes,
out.
They're 5 minutes late.
Crazy person. So the next day, she had received a call from a friend. And that friend told her that he was seeing some really concerning things on Facebook. He told her that she should contact her kids and just make sure that it was a misunderstanding and that everything was okay. So she tried calling Kelsey, but there was no answer. So she hopped in her car and she needed to get gas. And then she was planning on driving the 260 miles to Delphi. When she was only a little ways away out from the gas station, her phone started ringing and it was Kelsey calling her. But when she picked up the phone, it was her ex, Derek, Libby's father.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They had hardly ever spoken since their split. And so the fact that he was calling her was pretty alarming. And he said to her that they had found the girls. And at first she said, oh, thank God. But then Derek didn't sound happy. So she asked if they were okay. And he said, no. And then she asked if they were alive. And he said, no.
You gotta listen. You shouldn't judge anybody how they deliver news like that. But you really got to get the end result in that first, second sentence tops. You can't have the person who's grieving
sitting
ask
there.
Follow-ups.
I know. So Carrie said that she felt herself let out one of those guttural screams that you hear about when a mother loses a child. She said that she got to the gas station and she was just screaming and crying uncontrollably. She said that she's sure that people were staring at her, but she didn't care. She couldn't think about doing anything else other than just getting to Delphi.
Wow. Oh, imagine driving.
I couldn't.
In that state.
Are you kidding? I barely can drive. Oof. Completely fine. So the police had their work cut out for them, though. First, you know, of all the crime scenes that they could possibly have, this was outdoors. Mm. So it's like a gust of wind, an animal,
yeah,
bugs,
sure.
like all of these things would play factors in the evidence being disrupted. So, but what they didn't count on, which I already let the cat out of the bag because I don't have any poker face, but they didn't count on the bravery and the intelligence of 14-year-old Libby. because she was capable of, you know, taking, she took a, he was taking two steps. Mm-hmm. She took a video. And then when she was worried that he would see her and take it away, she put it in her pocket. So they captured the rest on audio.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Have you seen this video? Is it out or is it what?
Well, here's the thing. They did, let me get into it because I know I'm just going to end up rereading.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No problem.
So yeah. So she surreptitiously took out her phone and began filming the person that was making her uncomfortable. And she was able to get the man who in the footage appeared to be about 40 feet away from them. He was walking towards them and they were on like the forested side of the bridge. They had no real place to go. It was all steep hills and forests behind them. So in order to get where they needed to be picked up, they would have to walk by him.
Right.
So she put her phone away so they didn't see it. And on February 15th, the day after the girls had been found, police released a still frame of the man who at this point they were only saying that they wanted to speak with.
Which, that's just what they say though, right?
Yeah, like, we're going to get sushi. He can come in. It's going to be a whole thing.
But the cops know for sure. Listen, this guy's a suspect. But you can't say that. Like, you want to have a bit of a poker face.
This isn't like Disneyland. You know what I mean? This is Monday at a bridge that's falling apart in a forested area in February.
Right.
This isn't like, there isn't a ton of people there.
Yeah.
So they see him. Why is Liberty taking a picture of him too? Like, she had a gut feeling.
Yeah.
So this man was wearing a blue jacket and blue jeans. He appeared to be wearing one of those like paperboy caps. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a newsie?
Kind of like a fedora, but not fancy. Like
extra, extra. Yeah. Read all about it.
Extra, mister.
Hey, mister. President Kennedy was shot in Dallas. Read all about it.
So, you know, this picture is super grainy. Her phone was an iPhone 6S, which I thought was pretty decent for 2017.
Whoa.
I looked up when they came out, 2015. That's not bad.
Hey, for teenagers?
Yes.
Living a good life is the best life.
But it was probably grainy because it was a video and it was, she was trying to like just take it and put it away. But Liberty was not finished yet because on February the 22nd, police then released a clip of presumably this man speaking. And again, the audio wasn't the greatest.
Oh my God.
But Liberty was brilliant and she was trying to be sneaky doing this. So now, thanks to her, we also had his voice. And after they cleaned it up, you know, and made it clear, the audio better, you could clearly hear this man say to the two girls, down the hill. And it's the most chilling thing. So like, he got to them and he said, down the hill as a command. Like, let's go. And that's where we're going to end part one.
Oh, you bitch. I hate when you do that. I didn't even know this was a two-parter.
I'm sorry.
I'm like getting all amped in.
Next week, we're going to go into Ronald Logan, who is the man who owned the land that the girls were found on. We will talk about a disgusting pervert who had a catfishing account meant to attract underage girls.
Oh.
And as it would turn out, Libby happened to be speaking with his fake account on the very same day that they were murdered.
Oh.
And we will also go over who they now have awaiting trial. But that's all for this episode.
Based on name alone, my primary suspect?
Pervert?
Chase.
Oh my God.
Strictly based on the name.
No.
Tune in next week to find out if my hypothesis rings true.
No,
it does not.
Bye. You're on your own, Matt.